The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia L. Corey. And tonight I'm delighted to be joined by Catherine Raiden from Raiden Solicitors. And they are, of course, sponsors of The Parents Show, we are delighted to say. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us on The Parents Show.
No problem. Hello.
So, can you tell us about your role at Raiden Solicitors?
I set the firm up nearly 20 years ago. And I'm now the senior partner of 120 people. We have 62 family lawyers, and the aim is to provide family law advice and expertise to anybody who needs it.
That's fantastic. We've had the pleasure of speaking to a few of your colleagues, and it's always so insightful and so accessible, the information we get. So now, today, I'd love to talk to you specifically about court proceedings. Now, in family law, when might it be necessary to go to court? I think it's kind of a topic that everybody's a little bit nervous about. It's kind of you're a little bit in worst case scenario in people's heads. But I'd love to know, is it always necessary or when is it necessary?
So in financial proceedings, there's only ever two reasons for going to court. One is if you disagree on a point of principle, and one is if you disagree on the facts. So a point of principle might be that you absolutely don't want to share your pension. And a dispute on facts might be you absolutely think that your spouse has another property in their name that you really want the court to determine. In relation to children, it's more to do with a breakdown of communication between the two parents, and you're asking the court to guide you into resolving the issues. Really, for children, it should always be the last resort.
Right. Okay. So it's really kind of clear and simple. So only on financial and to do with children. And can you paint a picture for us? What does court proceedings entail?
The pros and cons of court are exactly the same. So going to court entails a court process and a timetable that you have no control of. So that could be a good thing, because you might think that your spouse or partner is delaying everything. So you have a court process that requires you to turn up to court in 2 months or 3 months or what have you. On the other hand, you might find that quite oppressive, and you might find the timetable long away, or you might find it too quickly. The ideal scenario is that the court will help you bring closure to the dispute, whether it's children or finances. And that is the aim of the court proceedings. That's the role of the judge, is to hear both arguments and come to a decision. And that has to be the main advantage of going to court, is that you will end up with a decision at the end of it. But there's a lot of problems going to court, and there's a lot of issues that you'll find. But that is the main reason for going to court, to have a final decision.
And what does it look like? I'm picturing kind of movies where you kind of big old courtrooms. I mean, is it an intimidating environment, or is it a kind of a pretty accessible process? What does it look like?
It's a room a little bit like this. Quite often they have no natural light at all. They have a lot of faux wood panelling. There will be a big crest behind the judge. Nobody wears gowns. Nobody has wigs. It's meant to be a quite calm environment. Nobody should raise their voices. There's no one shouting objection, or there's no one's barging into court. There's very, very rarely is there any journalists there. It's very rare that anyone else turns up. But it's not a very nice building. Hertford has a lovely building because it used to be the Corn Exchange. But Luton is at the top of a shopping centre, so the buildings aren't very attractive at all.
But, you know, just the way you've described it, I think is already calming in itself. Like, you can kind of build a picture, and it isn't something like turning up in the Old Bailey. So I'm sure that'll help our listeners be less intimidated.
Yeah, and The problem is that you're not allowed to take pictures of the court, and we have asked several occasions whether we can go and take pictures of an empty court and have it on the website so people could actually see what's going on. But it's fundamentally a contempt of court, and MOJ aren't interested in making an exception. But what I do try and do with my clients is, if it's a big hearing, I do try and go to court with them, either before the final hearing or on the day, and walk them round to say, this is where the toilets are, this is the courtroom we'll be in, this is our meeting room. But it's not a pleasant experience. They don't pay any money or attention to the experience.
I think in ways that's probably better, because you're not kind of confronted with this big intimidating environment. It's just a room, sounds like any other room, which is great. Yeah. Thanks for that. So now, instead of taking photos, you can just refer everybody to this podcast and they can hear you describe it. So what does going to court or court proceedings mean in terms of a financial or emotional or a legal perspective?
In the financial proceedings, the purpose is very clear. If you're arguing over a pension that's worth £600,000, you might as well go to court and spend £10,000 to get a fair proportion of it. In relation to children, when to go to court is a bit more vague. There's no cost-benefit analysis. Some people will spend any amount they can on whether they see the children on a Friday night or a Saturday night, or whether they pick the children up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. It's a very difficult thing, but what we try and do is make clients know the pros and cons of everything and have a full understanding of why they're going to court, so that they can feel part of the decision-making process.
Great. And so you mentioned that one of the pros, and also potentially, depending on your perspective, one of the cons of going to court is you have a final decision. And how quickly does that kick in? Is it literally the second the judge makes the decision, that's it?
Yes. But that implies the judge will make a decision within seconds. They're meant to make a decision on the final day, and they're meant to tell you what the answer is. Quite often, the judges need more time, and quite often they have no real sense of time. So they'll tell you that they'll email you next week, and it can be weeks and weeks, or sometimes even months. And that's very upsetting for a client, because if you think that the court is going to give you a final decision, you never know when that final decision will actually happen.
Yeah, that's hard, actually. And it's out of your control, I guess. There's nothing that can be done about it.
No, I mean, you could always settle. You could decide that, having heard what the judge said during the course of the hearing and having made some concessions with the other side, you could have a meeting and settle. But most people think that we've got this far, we might as well wait for the judge to make a final decision.
Yeah, makes sense. And can you kind of help us more understanding the line of when to go to court and when not to go to court? With your experience, you must instinctively know. But can you describe it a little bit? Like, when have you hit a wall and court is necessary?
I always say to people, you know, within the first month if you're going to need some help from the court. If you're writing to the other side and you're saying, can we have a decision within 2 or 3 weeks? Then they'll either write back and say, well, can it be 3 or 4 weeks? Or they'll write back and say yes. But if they don't reply, or if they come back with a barrage of useless points, then you have a sense that you're probably going to need some help from another person, which will be the judge, because you can't make progress. But most cases, whether it's a children matter or a finance matter, if the clients want to, it should be possible to avoid court, and you should be able to discuss valuations or principles or anything like that between the solicitors. But if the solicitor doesn't feel that it's appropriate to engage, or the client doesn't want to engage, then that's when you end up going to court.
Yeah, I get it. That makes sense. And do you ever come across situations where going to court actually makes the situation more difficult?
Yes, I would say most of the situations end up causing some sort of polarisation. By the time the parties get to a final hearing, that small point where they told you about a year ago that they thought such and such may or may not happen, by the time they go to court, they have to believe wholeheartedly that it's happened. And it can have a polarizing effect. Quite a lot of people say they want to speak their truth and say their truth. And if they get believed, that's great. But if they don't get believed, it's quite a difficult case for them. But the way the court systems are set up, it's adversarial. And so if you've said your truth and you've said what you believe, that was your chance. And the judge hopefully has taken some of it on board, even if they haven't completely agreed with you. In terms of finances, the time that the court goes badly wrong is when there was an offer that you should have accepted and you go to court instead because you're holding out for some particular principle and you end up getting less. But that's hopefully what your solicitor will tell you not to do, because we've always got the cost-benefit analysis in play. And so if you're arguing over an extra £100,000 and it's going to cost you £50,000 to argue it, hopefully the solicitor will have talked that through with you.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up today, Catherine, I'd love you to help our listeners, any parents out there who are perhaps on the cusp of divorce or thinking about going through divorce. Can you advise them the best approach when it comes to court proceedings?
If it's about children, all I'd say is that the two of you had some children or a child. The two of you made that decision and you've had those discussions between you about when they're going to have peanuts, whether they're going to have organic honey. And you had lots of decisions you made through discussing things together. At some point, you valued the opinion on the other parent. And for whatever reason, you're now going to court. And if you can hold on to the fact that they may be a terrible person and they may be an awful partner, but they are the father or mother of your child, I think that would be a really helpful thing to do. You can still go to court. You can still argue over the point of principle at what school they go to or what the contact should be. But if you can hold that in your mind, that would be helpful. I think you should also understand the process. You should understand that when it says it's a 10 o'clock hearing with a time estimate of an hour, you should block the whole day out. You should have childcare arrangements put into place. You should have some water. Don't take any hot drinks. The court won't allow it. And you should always think about alternative options. You can go to mediation at any point. You can take a break. You can have an adjournment and discuss other settlement options. There's loads of options out there available, and you are in control. It is the decision to go to court is the decision of the parties, and the court will help you make a final decision.
That's really helpful, Catherine. Thanks so much for all your advice and tips, and really for demystifying court proceedings, because it sounds, for me anyway, a little bit less daunting than I'd imagined.
Well, I'm glad. I think solicitors always forget how daunting it is for people. And whatever we can do to help that, I think is really important.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for joining us on The Parents Show today.
Thank you.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.